I firmly believe that we deserve, period.
I just feel like it's important to keep saying that aloud, that this is us learning in public.
The foundation of how to not have trash politics is really just relationships, right?
So if you're not aware of how powerful you are, then how can you be using your power to bring others up?
We're giving you collective liberation. We're giving you personal healing. We're giving you millennial auntie with a mic.
You're listening to Scene, the podcast.
So the question that we're talking about today, it kind of goes to the heart of our brand, because so much of what we talk about on this podcast, what the intention was for this podcast, was to represent ourselves as we are, you know, recognizing all of the ways that the world has distorted views of us, the ways that people, because of socialization and, you know, other reasons, people see us through their own lens and don't see us the way we are, or at least the way we see ourselves. And we wanted to create this space together where we could just be exactly who we are and talk about that and allow that to be heard and seen by everyone who listens. So the question that I want to ask you today is, what is something that people misunderstand about you?
Wow. Honestly, I didn't think I was going to feel this way in being given the first go at answering this question, because I think... Thank you so much for that opening. Connecting the why of the podcast and the piece you said about, you know, carving out a space where we don't have to adhere to people's projections of us. Part of me was like, wanted to interrupt and be like, oh my God, like you're saying the perfect thing to like set me up to talk about what it is that I want to talk about. Because what I was thinking about was, I think that people misunderstand the fact that, so this is, bear with me, because you know me, I'm not succinct. I apologize. But
we have an entire podcast for you to talk. Don't apologize.
I know, but just like bear with me for a second.
Okay.
There's, in doing this podcast, I think that it can create a image of people who are saying things that are like helpful. We're like moving through really challenging topics. You're drawing on like this beautiful skill set that you have, like as a therapist, but also just like as a person, right? Like as you. And we're learning in public.
In public.
Oh, we're just really full circle, baby.
Hitting all the notes of the brand
Pulling
today.
Back the curtain of silence. Learning what freedom feels like. You have to go. That's a deep cut. If you've been listening for a long time, go back to the first one. Give us those numbers. You know what I mean? From first few episodes. But what I was going to say was like the in doing this, I think that it can really project ideas of or fractions of who we are. And I always get really, so this is the bear with me, like this, because it feels like egotistical to talk about this, but I think it's important and it connects to what I want to share, is like, I receive really beautiful, and you do too, I'm sure, like messages and comments from people who are like, what you're doing is so important. It's like transformative. There's such a beautiful space you and Lala have. And I think that over the years, I have felt like this internalization of like having to be like so perfect and put together and not in like a particularly like, y'all know I cuss, y'all know I like talk about whatever I talk about, but like in like this embodiment of values and modeling certain behavior and really having the space and having the words, because I think both of us do something really special together and I never want to like diminish that. I just also think that there's like this I end up internalizing this expectation to be perfect. And I think the thing that people misunderstand about me is that, like, I really am like such a work in progress. And this podcast has created such a great space to be like, to tap into the highest forms of myself, I think. And those are things that people get to see, but what people don't get to see is like the path that has led here has been me just not being so compassionate, not being so kind, like being mean spirited, like over the years. And I think that there's like a client of mine once called me Saint Nick. And I was like, that's so sweet. Cause like, I really appreciate that. And I think I thought about that in the context of this conversation. And I was like, I really internalized this feeling of needing to like do everything perfect. And I think that it's important to own the ways that I'm like deeply flawed. And like, I don't talk about those things because it's like, doesn't feel like it suits or fits like this idea or this persona of like what people think I am versus like in this podcast. But also like a huge part of who I am is like moved to become a more caring, empathetic person and somebody who wants to show up for others. But there's also like, there's other sides of me. Maybe that's a thing.
Yeah. And do you feel like if you were to show some of those more flawed parts of yourself, if you were to talk about it more on the podcast, does it feel like it would discredit the other things you talk about or sort of take away from the values or the message?
Not even so much that. I mean, probably subconsciously that, yes.
Yeah.
But maybe more on a conscious level, it's like, like what we talk about here and how I get to draw on parts of my life, it doesn't always tap into the areas where, or maybe I've yet to feel a level of like really pulling back all these layers of myself. For example, the internalizations of growing up like really fucking Christian and sort of like ideas of perfectionism and not being enough and inadequacy. Like the fact that I'm not a practicing Christian anymore, but some of those ideas have like transformed themselves into another manifestation that I'm still encountering. And I don't know if I was always conscious of that. Like, I think that, so anyways, like I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk about this and also what you have to share too, because like, I think it wasn't so much that I think that people believe that I'm perfect. It's more just like, I need to be as real as I am. And that's a huge part of my reality is like, I look back at things that I've done in the past, how I've shown up, how I have not always valued people or valued relationship on all these things that I say that I think can be so helpful for folks, but people also need to recognize, or I need to see in myself, like that there's still parts of me that are like hurt. And when I'm hurt, this is how I act, or this is how I have had tendency to lash out, or how I, you know what I mean? Like that type of shit.
It's so interesting how the universe or life, however you want to think about it, so often kind of presents us the same lesson in different packages, especially if it's something that we haven't fully kind of unraveled within ourselves yet.
Absolutely.
You know, when you brought up the church, it made me think of an article from a few years back, and the title was something like "Excommunicate Me from the Church of Social Justice."
Yes, I remember that. I have that saved to my computer.
Yeah, it's just so interesting because that you brought that up and made that comparison then, and it makes sense to me how the social justice space has a lot of similarities where there are these higher values that we all align ourselves with, and there therefore ends up being, I shouldn't say therefore, but there does often end up being up, there yeah. often ends up being a sort of performative nature, you know, we these values. And so we all want to be seen to be holding these values, and we're afraid of what it'll mean to the community if we're not seen holding the values. And when someone isn't seen holding the values, they often are gossiped about and attacked. And
yeah.
So I guess that feels real familiar to you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this lesson, I hope to learn it. Just, you know, I hope to learn it because I'm tired of it showing up. Personally, I'm okay with it, you know, going away. But I definitely think that the like culture and also there's a dogmatic way that a lot of us like are participating in community, like these shared values, right? And also like we are all human beings, like we've all evolved to like kind of have traits where we're like there's an in-group but there's an out-group, and it's like just because we have these high moral ideals doesn't mean that we can't also be like infallible, as you know, old Christian me would say, like, you know, imperfect people. The risk that I'm talking about, or the risk that you just described about like if people were to find out how real you actually were or how like unsaintly you actually were, whatever, like what that would mean, those exist regardless of if you're in supposed shared company with people who have your values in the context of like social justice. You know, it's a huge broad bucket of people, not necessarily your own community. But yeah, I definitely feel like it's important for all of us, especially those of us who have like platforms and have podcasts and have like space into other people's hearts and minds and help, you know, trying to help shape people's reflective practice or ease with themselves or like loving on themselves or showing up in different ways, that we're also able to like model that behavior just through being real human beings, like not being like scripted.
Yeah. So despite how scary it might be to be seen as flawed, it sounds like there's also a part of you that deeply longs to be known as flawed, to not have to perform, you know, perfection and to not have that pressure on you. So I'm wondering if you could fully be released from that, if you could, you know, feel that everybody knows and sees that you're imperfect and that's okay. How might that affect you? What might shift for you?
I mean, that's a really good question. I think I would take more risks. I think I would do, I wouldn't be so afraid to step outside of what I perceive are like the bounds of how people see me or how what people expect of me. I'd be more daring. I think that I would be less afraid of like judgment from other people or what other people's opinions of me or words that they might have about me would actually shape or determine what happens in my life. Like I would think I would feel a bit more secure in what it is that I do or how I am or what, you know, not like it's about doing or being employed or what, you know, what you do for work or whatever, but like that's, for me, those things are kind of intertwined with like who I am as a human. Yeah, I think it would just be really liberating.
It's like it would be such a relief. There would be a freedom in that. And it's interesting though, because I do relate, especially, yeah, being a therapist, I think people have similar things. We tend to see our therapists as, mm-hmm. you know, somehow being more healed
Saints.
Than we are. And yeah,
Saint Lala, I know. Right? Exactly.
I've definitely had that kind of image of especially therapists that I saw before I became one. And I still worry about, I know some of my clients listen and I wonder, does it make them think less of me when I talk about this or that? Or do they trust me less as a therapist? And it makes me feel like maybe, yeah, maybe I would feel more free publicly if I wasn't in that role. But then I think, you know, I didn't feel that free publicly before I was in the role. So maybe it's not really about that. Maybe that's my shit. And like, maybe it isn't actually something that's happening, you know?
That's so interesting. I mean, that's cool that you're even able to ask yourself or like consider whether or not you felt free before. I think I was nodding because I was thinking to myself, like, I would imagine, and I'm wondering if this is true for you, that being able to show up in the ways that you do by virtue of your therapy practice, like affords you a different kind of freedom into yourself, like that you're, yeah, like I wonder if it's actually created more in different ways. And like maybe the question then becomes like, what does freedom mean? Does that mean like feeling like confident and safe and like secure in what you're doing, or is it something else?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are here to learn what freedom feels like. Oh, sorry. God. We're bringing it all back today. Jeez. So I just had to throw that in there. But in all seriousness,
I was like, what the fuck is happening? Oh my God.
But no, what was I actually going to say before I had to just be corny for a second? I think the most freeing thing from being a therapist is realizing that there's nothing I could possibly feel or do or think that many, many other people haven't also felt, you know, like there's so right. many things that I've felt so deeply ashamed of. And the longer I practice, I come across people who are like, oh God, I don't even want to have to tell you this, but I sometimes this and that. And right. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not the only one. This is so great.
Right.
It's so like freeing to feel that. And that was, you know, a concept I'd come across in, you know, like meditative practices and stuff like that. But to actually have, you know, these people sitting in front of you that you so admire and love and respect and all of that to say these things that you've held within you, it's like, okay, we're all just really struggling with similar things.
We're all just trying. Yeah, that's so interesting, like how liberating it is to be in connection with people who also get it. And like, and I think that just goes to show how much, you know, some of the things that are like dirty little secrets for us are actually just like well-known experiences for others, and how like lonely that can be when you think that like it's just you navigating through that, and it's not actually. And I wish that we, you know, the bigger picture is like wishing that we would have these conversations more often, or wishing that there was more room in, let's say, the profession to talk about that specifically, like, you know, what happens when you feel like you're just like oh fuck, like sometimes I, whatever it might be, is like, it's part of being a human being. So yeah,
one of my favorite things to get to say to people as a therapist is that's really common for people who have you know, experienced X and Y, and it's so often such a relief for people.
I bet. Like watching people's faces change as they realize that it's like not just them. Damn. Okay, ma'am. Miss Ma'am has been doing very good work asking me many questions, but now it's your turn. I need some like intense music. I don't know, we'll find some intense music to like, now it's on you. What is something that people misunderstand about you?
That should have been part of our like rebrand when we switched to asking questions as our framing is like some really like intense hot seat music.
Ooh.
We can work on that.
Yeah, it's in the works.
So the biggest thing that came to mind for me, and it's happened for me, I think, more socially than in like a workspace, although mm-hmm. it probably crosses over. I think I have felt that there is this sort of, it's like a grouping of misunderstandings maybe, but they feel very connected to me. And I think what it is that things that internally for me are things like shyness, an avoidant attachment style, insecurities, I find that these things often get misunderstood as things like coldness, being aloof, being mean, other really like negative things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been really painful for me throughout my life because it's often felt like these very vulnerable parts of myself where I'm in pain or I'm insecure or really just wanting connection and acceptance are so often these parts that are interpreted through this very negative lens, like I'm doing something that is mean or in some way like harming other people. And it feels like there is a weird kind of power, like I feel so powerless and they're interpreting me as being like almost like having a superiority complex.
Wow. Was it something that you have like sensed, that misunderstanding of what your internal emotions, how you perceive them and how you're feeling them, like what's going on for you and how others are receiving that or understanding you? Has that been something that you've navigated your entire life, or is it something that kind of like that you could put your finger on more recently, or like when did you realize that people were like not able to like see what was actually happening for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think it was my entire life. I think when I was really, really little, I was a lot more outgoing. And I, as a kid, was bullied really extensively to the point where I like switched schools.
Whoa.
And that, along with probably maybe other experiences as well, definitely led to a lot of social anxiety, a lot of shyness. And I think I didn't know. I think there was a long time when I just didn't really understand why people saw me the way that they did or would say certain things about me. I still don't know if I fully understand. I have theories. But I think it's like more recent years going through counseling school and then having friends who are therapists and things like that, that I was able to maybe have the level of immediacy in relationships that I started to be able to like hear what other people's internal experiences of me were, you know, so that I could kind of line that up against, well, what did they feel was happening and what did I feel was happening, you know?
Do you think it was like about the fact that your friends and colleagues and people around you were therapists and then more tuned in, or was it like that you had changed and grown by virtue of going through therapy school and beginning your therapy practice, and that you were able to like communicate that you sensed that difference, or any, you know what I mean? Like, do you think that that's about the people around you, or is it also a change in yourself that you were able to get that, as you described, like immediacy?
I probably developed skills to be able to have that with people. Yeah. But I think the biggest question, the biggest difference was just having those conversations. Like, I'm thinking of time in counseling school at the end of a class, and during that class at some point I had really bonded with this one young woman who was in the class as well. And she was at the, on the last day, as we were kind of giving each other appreciations, she was trying to articulate how she saw, had seen me before, you know, and sort of was like, I thought that you were, I can't remember how she tried to say it, but she basically tried to articulate that she thought that I thought that I was better than her in some way, or that I was like aloof, or, you know, something like that. And then she sort of, as she tried to like describe like why she thought that, she kind of faltered because she sort of realized she didn't know why she thought that. And then she said, oh, well, I guess I was just intimidated by you.
Right.
Which I think was like a really big moment for me, because it was always so difficult for me to understand how could people think this when it is so opposite to what's actually happening for me.
Right.
And I think, you know, for me, I think there is some intersection of race and gender and probably a lot of internal factors in other people and their own insecurities that they're bringing to things. But it leads people to project something so different from what's there.
Would it have made, so for example, like, would it have made a difference if this woman that you're speaking about, or even if it was me, whatever, if like I'm like, oh, I feel like Lala's, I'm getting this message from Lala that I feel like you are, you think you're better than me or something like that. I don't know. Would it have made a difference for somebody to ask or to tell you, like, I feel like I'm getting this sense, like, this, this is true. Like, even having the curiosity to say that, as opposed to what I would imagine is like, if somebody's, if I'm perceiving that somebody thinks they're better than me, like either I'm going to be the type of person who wants to like prove that I'm actually better than them, or I'm going to want to like get this person's approval. Like I'm going to believe it or I'm not going to believe it. So I wonder like what were the reactions that were happening? Like, so, you know, that you, you just described people thinking that you, in this case, that while you're experiencing like so many internal hard feelings, challenging feelings to go through alone, people are like sensing something completely different. And I guess I'm wondering like, yeah, would it have made a difference for somebody to ask you sooner or over time for you to be able to like have the opportunity to correct that information?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I think that's the only way that I've learned what's actually happening for people. Because I think for a long time, I just thought, you know, people just don't like me. And yeah, there's like plenty of people who don't like me. I'm sure that's true. But I think there's also these other things that happen, you know, there's also people who perceive me as not being interested in them, or, you know, not liking them, or thinking that I'm better than them in some way. And I think when people check that out with me, they can see that that's actually not happening. It's really, I mean, it's really hard to be somebody who, like being shy and be having an avoidant attachment type, there is like a lot of loneliness that comes with that. And I think so many people perceive me in a certain way, especially because there's so many ways in which I'm not shy.
That's, yeah, that's got to be kind of confusing, because like I don't really see you as a shy person at all. But I know you, so I guess it's different.
Well, it's also different, I think, because you're an extrovert and you adopted me.
What does that mean to you?
The like, you know, the pie chart that's like how introverts make friends, and there's like a sliver that's like they don't, and then the rest of the pie chart is like an extrovert finds them and adopts them.
Yes.
Because yeah, we met at our friend's party, and you like introduced yourself to me and really just started making conversation with me. And if you hadn't done that, we would not have a relationship, because I would have been way too shy to ever talk to you.
That is the fucking, sorry, that's not like funny to me, but it's just like, wow. I didn't realize that I am the hero of this relationship, for one.
You are, yeah.
And also just like the like the way that, yeah, different personality types show up in like what we, because you just said you would feel not comfortable approaching me, and I'm always so like, I'm just gonna say hello to this person. Like, it, what's happening in my head is never from a place of like I'm confident or anything like that. Like, I think it's oftentimes just like, well, the best thing to do is like be nice in a room, you know, like it's a weird default where it's, so it's interesting as you're describing like what people assume of you and like the difference between, you know, what you are processing internally and what others perceive. I think people have always told me that I come across as very confident, but I think a lot of the times there's also like so much internal dialogue, so much internal second guessing, so many times where I'm like, okay, that was weird, but I played it off. Like, you know, that I feel like even the people who are perceived as confident have so much that they're struggling with. And I'm hearing you say the exact same thing, where it's like, but also the difference between an extrovert and an introvert is like, yeah, we would not be friends, because like, I didn't even realize that. I would have thought you would have come up to me if I didn't come up to you. It's just fascinating.
Yeah. It's so funny. I'm just also thinking about, well, long story short, at the board social that you missed there was a group conversation about what type of person I would or should date.
I wish I was there for this conversation. Yes, I know. Damn it. Damn it.
And when somebody said, they were describing a person that they knew that maybe they should set me up with, I think. And they said something about quiet. And I was like, oh, I don't really date quiet people. And they were shocked. They were like, really? They were like, wow, so you like the opposite of you. And I was like,
why do you think I'm quiet?
Yeah. So then I realized, I was like, oh, you've only seen me in groups, and I'm very quiet in groups.
Yes.
Because I'm an introvert, and yes, they're overwhelming, and yes, I don't know when to talk. So I need longer pauses, or, you know, so I just am usually quiet. It's so funny because it is kind of contradictory, isn't it? Right. I'm like, I'm so shy, but I'm not quiet. Like, no. Once you get me into a conversation,
you're, yes, chatty, talkative, like take up space, like all of those things.
Yeah. So it is so funny how these things can be so contradictory. And of course, somebody else, you know, wouldn't necessarily be able to pick up on all of this, but I don't know. I guess I'm wondering if you have any like crossover with this, because I've always thought that, you know, being intelligent and being, I guess, confident in my opinions, which is very different than being confident in myself.
Right.
And the combination of that and being brown and being a woman has been a big part of the reason why I sort of have these like negative reactions or projections from people. And I would imagine, like, you know, being a black woman, like even more so than being a brown woman, some of these things might come up. So have you ever gotten those types of, like, maybe not cold? I can't imagine people thinking,
let me tell
that
you a story.
Cold, but,
let me tell okay. you a story. This is more of a tell. It's a crossover, because it's going to tell you about the person that I used to be and deep down can tap into. So this is just like, this is also a threat for people, for my enemies who are listening. Years ago, I worked for a marketing company, and we were doing this, like, I worked in a food truck, and we drove from Victoria to Winnipeg over the course of like 2 months. And we were like doing food truck things all across Western Canada. And there was this person that I worked with, and he was part of, let's call him Mark. Mark was part of the team, and he was like low key, but also high key, patronizing, and just gave me an arrogance. Like, I just, there was something about him and he would always, we were working in a very tight like food truck, so it's not that much space, but like there are certain things where you don't reach over somebody, you just like ask somebody to pass something to you, or, and he would always be like invading my very personal space, which is like between, you know, like not that much room, you know, half of a, like 4 or 5 inches in the context of a food truck. And we had had like a, you know, some kind of back and forth, because he was like invading my personal space, and I like lost it on this man, and I had, you know, he left the food truck, I left the food truck, our boss came in, was like, yo, separating us. He was like, Nick, yo, chill. Like, wow. And at the end of our work term, we had to do these things called 360 feedback. So everyone provided feedback about you anonymously, and it was like aggregated, and then you get a report at the end. And I got this one, and I got along with like everybody else on the team. So Mark had written, Nicole thinks that she's better than other people. When I saw that, first of all, I knew it was Mark right away. And my next thought truly was, I am better than you. Like, I just was like, yeah. And what, like, what are we talking about? Of course I am. So hint at my old ways, right? But like, there was this like sometimes a feeling of spite, like vengeance was like something that, which is the reason why my mom in many different ways had said things to me like, you're so good at telling the truth, but you need to say it a bit sweeter. Like, that wasn't just like a one-time thing. It was like, I was just known to, you know, if you cross me to a point, I was going to make you pay for it. Like, I'm a Scorpio rising. So there's that. But then I started to realize, like, after that happened and I got a bit older and I was like entering workforces, like more kind of professional spaces, quote unquote, I started to like recognize the ways that if I wasn't careful, I would be read a type of way that was going to be put me in a category of people. And it's not like this isn't to say like Black women in workplaces don't have reasons to be upset or angry. But I was like, it was definitely like I had to recognize what serves me better. Do I want to be lashing out at people, or would I rather be seen as open? Because that's a huge part of who I am, is an open person who's like patient and, you know, curious and able to hold multiple things at the same time. And I just kind of started to like choose that path because it felt like I was still getting my needs met. Like it wasn't like it was like my back was up against the wall. It was like, oh, when I lead with this, when I become more amenable, when I'm like kind and gracious, and which I would say are big parts of my personality and who I am as a person, but like a part, right? Like, I get my needs met. Like that's good for me. So I don't know if that answers your question. It's kind of a roundabout. It's like, I'm aware of how people are going to perceive me if I am that vengeful person that I used to be, or that I can still have the potential to be, but I recognize that like, that doesn't actually serve my best interests. Actually, it doesn't make me, and I don't need to do that in order for me to have my needs met. If I didn't have any of my needs met, maybe that would have been something that I had to draw on more so to have, you know, my perspectives taken seriously, my intelligence, my experience, things I have to offer, right? There's a reason people get angry. There's a reason why Black women can be angry. But I think that I was just so aware of like, how do I show up in these spaces where I'm the only Black person? And there was also like this like respectability politics. Of course it plays a fucking role, you know, desirability. Of course that plays a role. You want to be liked, you know, you don't want to be tokenized, but you also want to be, so like all these things. But I think at the end of the day, it's just been like a, what works for me. And I don't actually need to do certain things in order for me to have my needs met. So I'm lucky in that way.
So it sounds like you've found ways to adapt to situations that work better for you, but you don't feel like you have to sort of be someone else or change like who you are on a more essential level in order to get by in these spaces. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, like yes, I think that would be fair to say. And it's not just like getting by. I think it's also just like the person that I am now is like a good blend of like having firm boundaries and sometimes being flawed. And sometimes there's parts of me that are like more like just spiteful, but like how I show up is like, I recognize those things and I also make choices. So I don't think it's like a before and after, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's like, that's part of what I'm trying to say in terms of being, wanting to be better understood, is that like, there's so much more depth and breadth to the person that I am, the person that I choose to be. But also it's about, like you said, like I don't have to show up in ways that are like, I'm, you know, I don't have my shit together. I don't have to, like, I don't, because most of the time I have my shit together. But that's also like by virtue of like the work that I've done on myself.
Yeah. And I think this kind of brings together a lot of nuance and complexity on this topic, because I think it's not as simple as other people misunderstand me. Maybe there's moments where that's all that's happening, but I think more often other people are bringing something and I'm bringing something.
Right.
And we both have a part to play, and they may see me differently than I see myself, but that doesn't mean that either one of us is wrong. I think, again, there might be moments where one or the other of us is just completely wrong, but I think more often it's like we both have pieces of the truth. And by seeing ourselves through, not only through our own eyes, I feel like through our own eyes needs to be the foundation and the center and everything, but there's so much we can learn through other people's understandings and even projections of us.
And experiences of us, like how they, you know, take us in. Yeah.
Exactly. About what we're putting out there. Cause so often it's parts of our subconscious too.
Girl.
That are coming out.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I think there's been so many times in my life where I might have operated under deep insecurity, but what other people see is kind of like you described before, like aloofness or
like an apprehension to like having to be too close to other people because I'm scared they're going to see, or, and sometimes it's also a protective mechanism because mm-hmm. you are already so attuned and aware of how people, most people see you or how most people read you or whatever it might be, that you just become the thing, or you just you say, you know what, like if this person's so, for example, for me, like navigating predominantly white spaces in where I live, it's like there are two sides you might get of me, right? Actually probably three. One where I'm like, oh, I just smoked joint, went for a walk, where I'm like, I don't think I'm really paying that much attention. Another side of me where I'm like open and engaging with people, like passersby, as I'm like moving through, like going for walks. And then there's a part of me that's also like disengaged and it's intentional. And like the last two, forget the first one, but the, you know, friendly and amenable to neighbors versus being aloof. It's like both are protective mechanisms. Mm. Both are ways for me to say, you know, I don't want somebody to think that I, to be scared of me or whatever it might be, or to, you know, treat me with a lack of care. So I just extend care. Like, that's why sometimes being outside can be so exhausting for me. Cause I'm not only am I an extrovert, but I'm also like, I'm on, especially navigating through white spaces, especially looking the way that I do, because a lot of the times I dress in ways that are like very, I would say like gender neutral or androgynous. And I'm like, I don't know how people perceive me. Right. And so it's like, sometimes I might be just like way more like smiley and, you know, that kind of way. And other times I might be like, I want to not connect with people because I don't know what kind of, what some people read connecting with me as an invitation or as like an opportunity to access me, or, you know what I mean? Or if I feel, so anyways, both of those things can be like connected to feelings of protection. And I don't think that oftentimes everybody is aware of like why we're showing up the way that we are. We don't have that insight or that curiosity.
Yeah. And I think that is such a big piece of it. It's like so often people are noticing a behavior or an energy.
Yep.
And then they come up with their own interpretation for it.
Yes, dude.
And it's so often different from what we're internally experiencing, but I think it can be really helpful to realize that they are picking up on something. And so in a way, like, yeah, maybe my energy sometimes is cold and maybe sometimes it's aloof, but I can say that it's not because I think I'm better or because I don't want to connect or anything like that. It's because I am afraid of connection or because mm-hmm. I'm feeling so shy. So it's like there's something others can learn, you know, to have curiosity about my behavior. And there's something I can learn, which is that this is what other people feel. Mm. And so how can I maybe like show up differently? How can I kind of overcome or work with my shyness in a different way so that, you know, the experience other people have with me is different.
Mm-hmm.
So a question I want to end on is asking each of us, is there a way that you would like people to treat you differently or think of you differently or approach you differently? Like, is there something that you, if you could sort of talk to people who have this sort of misunderstanding about you, that you would want them to know or wish for them to do differently?
Hmm. Oh my God, what a question. So this is going to be maybe unsatisfying because it's not really about how I want people to like treat me differently, but it's more so like I would want anybody to begin communicating to people around them like their own contradictions or the things that like, you know, like naming those things, that the pressure to be perfect versus like the mean streak that you had when you were, you know, a kid, like just those kinds of, I'm just a big fan of people being like more open and honest about like the things that they think are, that they believe others misunderstand about them.
Mm.
And maybe if I could pick something about myself, it's like leaving more space to be surprised or leaving more space to have me self-define who I am. I don't know. Like, in some ways, I was going to say, like, not counting me out from, like, things that are beyond what you believe are the good fit for me, or and that's not directed to anyone in particular, but just, like, even to myself, it's like, I can't pigeonhole myself. I don't want to. What is Solange say? I can't be a singular expression of myself. There's too many thoughts. There's too many feelings. There's too many manifestations. Like, you know, it's like there's so much more. And I think, like, I want other people to share what their so much more is. I want other people to, like, to do that, because I think that, like, when I see that, it makes me feel more comfortable taking up space in the other areas of my life that I think I have to kind of tuck away.
I love that. And that's such a beautiful call for all of us. That makes me so happy.
But how about you? What would you say or ask of others?
I think I would just, I should put it in, like, my social media bios or something. Like, I would just want people to know that I'm shy. I have a lot of social anxiety. I have a lot of relational trauma. So many of us do. And so I would just want people to know that if I'm not, like, approaching you first, it doesn't mean that I don't like you or that I don't want to get to know you better. It's just that I'm really shy. And so if you happen to be somebody that you think that we might connect, because there's so many people that I so admire in our communities.
Totally.
That I would just, like, never... You know, and this is something I need to work on, you know, because I would really assume that they weren't interested in connecting with me. So if you're somebody who is more outgoing or more extroverted, please find me and adopt me, because I would love that.
This is an open call for all extroverts. But also, I would say, you're not saying that you don't want to be friends with introverts, too.
Oh, right. I love introverts. I have a pretty even split, actually, I think, of, really? Like, extrovert and introvert, like, close friends. So applications from all are...
all may apply. We are an equal opportunity employer.
Yes. But also, I also just want to, like, most of them, if not all of them, are not listening, but I also want to thank people who have misunderstood me and let me know that in some kind of way, because it's been so essential to my own self-discovery.
I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you for having this conversation with me. I feel like I learned a lot.
Me too. This has been so lovely. Damn, more of this.
Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community, and we cannot do this without you.